What's going on, folks? Before we get started here, I just want to say thank you to everybody that's listened to the episodes that I've put out so far. This started out as just something to keep myself busy during quarantine, and it's turned into something that I've really enjoyed doing and I would really like to keep doing in the future. So, once again, thank you and enjoy the final episode of Learn Something Season 1. Roll the intro music. From daycare to retirement, there's always room for growth. Let's do a little growing today. My name is Ben, and this is Learn Something. Hello, and welcome back to episode 10 of Learn Something. This started out as a quarantine project, and now I'm leaving for school in a week from today that we're filming this, which is Sunday. So,
wow.
Crazy how that time flies. I want to put a button on this first era of Learn Something by recording a podcast that is just random and fun and nothing of the sort that we've done so far. And for our first return guest of
That's right.
Learn Something, I brought my pal Bradley back here to do this with me. Would you call yourself a film guy, as I like chef's kiss my fingers, or would you just say you enjoy watching
me? I love the chef's kiss. Like, that's my favorite thing. So I really I would consider myself a movie guy, but I've probably only been a movie guy for a year. I've always liked movies, but I didn't really get into, like, I call them films now more than I used to, and I think that's a good sign of how much of a movie guy you really are. So I've turned into one. I'm still learning a lot. I haven't seen a lot of movies that a lot of other people have seen, but I don't know, I would consider myself a movie guy.
I have this conversation in my house all the time because my sister and my dad are what I would like to call film people.
Yeah.
As opposed to me, who kind of just like watches a lot of movies. I had someone ask me recently if I'm like a big movie guy, and I had to really think about it because I feel like there's a difference between watching a lot of movies and like being a film person. I watch a lot of movies, but I think the criteria that I go through in determining whether or not I think a movie is good is a lot different than someone of a film enthusiast, where they're looking at it more of like a, would this be an Academy Award winner? And I'm looking at it like, well, that was really funny and really terribly made, but that's all I really care about. As long as a movie to me, like, makes me happy, like if I'm walking away from it thinking, okay, that was good. It doesn't have to be well made. Being well made is a positive, but it's a lot less important to me than those of whom want to be in the Academy one day.
Yeah, I disagree with you, but ultimately you're entitled to your own opinion, and that's what's fun about movies is people can have different opinions, and I like fun bad movies too, just not as much as the films, but that makes me pretentious. That makes me the difficult person to be around, not you.
My thing this last couple of weeks when I've been having these conversations with my family is saying that they're films, they're not just movies.
Ben is doing the chef kiss every time he says film, by the way, so
it's necessary. So what we have done today is compiled a list of five of our favorite movies. Whether they are favorites or whether they are the best movies we've ever seen is kind of up for the debate here.
Correct.
I'm just looking at my list, and I will say that I only have one movie on here that I definitively know got nominated for anything whatsoever. And I feel like your list might be a little bit different. So I think we should just take turns and make a case for why you think the movie should be on your list.
Okay, cool. Are we starting at one or starting at five?
Let's start at five.
Okay. You want me to kick it off?
Yeah.
Five was the hardest, obviously. Once, like, really all these are pretty rotatable, and I really, like, take this seriously, so I hope that I am truly doing it the way I would like to. But right now, I think five is a good movie to talk about, at least, which would be Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Classic movie. Love Harrison Ford. I think it's super fun, which I think meets your criteria well. I think the entire Raiders of the Lost Ark, other than Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which is the fourth one, which is pretty mediocre, but it's not bad. I think it's just a great storyline, follows a great character arc, and I just think Raiders of the Lost Ark is the best one. I think, who is it? What movie? Oh, maybe it's a TV. Someone says in, I want to say it's The Big Bang Theory, but I don't really know because I didn't watch it, but somebody argues that Raiders of the Lost Ark is really dumb because Indiana Jones doesn't ever do anything. He just kind of, he discovers the Ark and then he lets the Nazis have it basically, and then it ends up destroying everything. But I don't know. I disagree. I think it's super fun, and I wish I was Indiana Jones because he's so cool. I don't know. What do you think, Ben?
I think that's a good kickoff movie because I think that's one of those, like, that's one of those hybrids where you can say it's like a really well-made movie, and it's also like a cult classic type movie that people can just get behind the whole franchise. I don't have it on my list, but I think Star Wars is another good example of that. Any of those types of movies in the realm of Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, Star Trek, that kind of stuff, I think those are the big exception to it might not be like the most incredible movie you've ever seen, but I think it gets a pass because of the weight of the franchise.
Yeah.
Unlike something like Twilight.
No doubt.
Where the franchise is huge, but they're just terrible movies.
Correct. I've never seen them. My girlfriend wants me to watch them with her, but I can't do that.
Last winter break, one night at like 10 p.m., I was trying to find something to watch on Hulu, and I came across the first Twilight, and I was like, okay, I think it's time for me to finally watch it. Just once, just to say that I have.
Yeah.
And about 6 hours later, I was finishing the fifth movie. I watched 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, no stopping.
Oh.
And I have no intention of ever watching them ever again with anybody. They're terrible.
Well, you did it. Yeah, I'm proud of you. But I probably agree with you.
Okay. My fifth movie is the original Point Break.
Okay.
With Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze. It's one of my favorite movies. I don't know if it would qualify as like a great movie, but the one-liners in the movie are so funny. The movie is just so watchable. There's action and there's just like good camaraderie, and it's a very fun movie. It also made me want to go skydiving, which I haven't done yet.
I've actually never seen Point Break, so I couldn't tell you much about it, but I mean, I've always thought of it like it would be a really fun movie. Obviously, Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves are great. So
my recommendation is don't waste your time watching the remake of it. I watched it on a plane one time, and it's terrible.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to make a good remake, and so that makes sense.
All right, what is your fourth?
Okay, my fourth favorite movie of all time is The Naked Gun. I bet most people listening have maybe not heard of this. I don't know. Have you seen it, Ben?
I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it.
So it's on Netflix right now, so this is the perfect time to watch it. It's a straight-up comedy. It's the only, like, full comedy on my list, but I think it's the funniest movie of all time. It's about, basically, Leslie Nielsen is the actor, and he's a cop who's just really dumb and gets O.J. Simpson's in it, too, which is really funny, obviously, before he killed someone. But it's just a cop being dumb, and there's just a lot of funny gags in it, and it's, I don't know, I think it's got a really good sense of humor, and it's the funniest movie ever made. So that's why it's number four on my list. I would heavily recommend it. It's only like an hour and a half. It's just great. There's so many hilarious moments in it that make me cry.
So is it on your list because it's the funniest movie you've ever watched? Is that
What I would say. Yeah, probably. I mean, I think it's a decent movie, but yeah, definitely the comedy is what carries this movie. It's not a serious movie in any sense of the word.
I feel like there are a lot of movies that I would put in like my funniest movies I've ever seen. I feel like that's a separate list. Like,
yeah, that's fair. I those almost movies did are that.
Just like historically not all that great.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, for example, I think the funniest movie that like I will continue watching over and over again is Superbad. I just think it never gets old. It's always funny. But compared to the rest of this list, it's not quite the same.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, what's your number four?
My number four is 10 Things I Hate About You.
Nice. That's a great one. Really good movie.
I feel like this could be a great movie. It definitely, for when it was made in 1999, was like it with the times, you know?
Definitely.
I just think it's super relatable for anybody that has gone through being that age. Heath Ledger is so funny in that movie. The writing is just really funny. And it's just easy to watch. It's loosely based off of Taming of the Shrew. So they put little Shakespeare references throughout it, which I've only ever read Shakespeare with a gun held to my head during class.
Yeah.
I really couldn't care less about that part. But I think for the sake of finding it interesting, I think it's cool when things are like that. Yeah. It's just one of those movies that you come away from it thinking you spent your hour and however long. Well, and for that reason, I think it's a great movie.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's probably my favorite rom-com. So you picked a good one. It's just fun and good, and it has, like you were saying, it feels very 1999, but I think that's a good thing.
Yeah,
it's also, it's not like, in the same sense, it's not fully outdated, and it's just fun, and you have a great time. The acting is so good, and it's just a nice little lighthearted movie to watch. So solid choice.
What's your third?
All right, my third is 12 Angry Men. This is probably the most obscure movie on my list. Let me look up what year it came out. But 12 Angry Men is about a trial of a boy who got arrested for murder, and it's about 12 men on the jury who, at the beginning, there's a disagreement about if this boy is guilty or not. And so it's just, and I think the movie probably runs, yeah, an hour and a half of just them in the single room, pretty much the set is just this one New York City courthouse room that they dismiss to, and just for an hour and a half just argue about whether this boy is innocent or guilty. And they just, it's in black and white. Like, it came out in 1957, and they are just sweating it out, arguing about the truth. And it is just so good, in my opinion. It's written so well. The pacing is great. It's in black and white. It's in one room. It's all dialogue driven, which is like very counter to what our movies are now. But it just paces so well, and it's such a great movie. So that's my third favorite movie ever. I actually watched it in history class for the first time, but man, it's so good. If it ever shows up on a streaming service, highly recommend it. It's not a long watch, and I think people would love it.
I saw something either on Twitter or TikTok about it, about how throughout the movie the depth of the camera changes, that it, like,
yes,
it starts out really wide and then slowly like goes in closer.
Yes, it is. Like, it feels like you're being suffocated throughout the entire movie. And it's so, like, that is so cool. And you just feel the pressure build, and you feel like you're in that room. It's like, it's the fifth highest rated movie on IMDb. Like, it's not just some obscure movie, but it's just people our age haven't really heard of it. And it's hard to get someone to watch a black and white movie, which I don't blame them. It's hard for me to watch that too.
Okay, then let me ask you this. So freshman year, somebody who isn't going to listen to this, so I guess I could name them, but I'm not going to anyway. I watched The Breakfast Club with them.
Okay.
And their main gripe with The Breakfast Club was that they just felt like they were waiting for the movie to start because they were in the library for the entirety of the movie, essentially. Does it feel that way with this movie?
I wouldn't say so. I think I really like The Breakfast Club, but The Breakfast Club is like, I don't know, it's very artistic in the sense that they really are just like having a conversation, it kind of feels like. I feel like this movie, it is intense and it is action-packed in a dialogue sense. But I don't know, I really like Breakfast Club, so maybe it is. But I don't think so. I think they're pretty different. The Breakfast Club, a lot of its themes are indirect and like you kind of pick them up as you watch the movie. But this one, it's very pointed and you like know the point of every line that is delivered. So they're different, but at the same time, yeah, they do lack moving location and anything that is like, I don't know what modern movies are like. I love The Breakfast Club though. That could have made my top five.
Speaking of 80s movies, my third favorite movie is Dirty Dancing.
Okay, nice.
If anybody's been into my room at college, you know that I have a Dirty Dancing poster on my wall, and it's definitely a conversation starter. I'm just a big fan of Patrick Swayze, first and foremost.
Yeah.
And I think this movie is so fun and the music is so good. I definitely got the dancing gene from my mom because when this movie came out, she was really identifying with Jennifer Grey's character in that movie, and that's why that like left an imprint on her. So I think for that same reason, I really, really love the movie. I think it's so beautifully shot. And if you know the background of it, that it was made on like a shoestring budget and they really just struggled to make this movie, I think that adds a little bit to it, that the movie is so good. Kenny Ortega is also the choreographer. And for all my High School Musical people out there, this is where Kenny Ortega like got his big break. So that's cool. I'm not sure if it got nominated for anything. I would lean toward no.
Let me look. I want it to. Yeah, it won an Oscar.
Did it? For what?
Best music. For okay. I've had the time of my life.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, pretty much all of it is very musical based. But yeah.
But I think there are some scenes in that movie that you just, those are always something that people have in their heads. Like, for example, they're in How I Met Your Mother, they're telling the stories of how they lost their virginity. And Barney, who is played by Neil Patrick Harris, is lying, and he essentially tells the story of a scene in Dirty Dancing where they're dancing in that room. I'm not gonna sing the song, but
please sing.
But if you ever are, if you know of Dirty Dancing, I think you know what I'm talking about. It's when they're rehearsing for the final dance. There's also the iconic one-liner, "Nobody puts baby in a corner," which can be applicable to pretty much anything in life. And I think having applicable one-liners that people can say really helps the movie stand the test of time, in my opinion. So, beautiful movie. Love it. I can watch it over and over again. That's my third.
Yeah, I've actually I've seen it twice, I think, so I haven't seen it a ton, but I think what makes it so good is just how influential it is on movies and just like American culture. And I think that says a lot about a movie if it can really influence things and have like big one-liners, what you talked about. So yeah, Dirty Dancing, great pick.
What's your second?
My second is Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back. You already talked about Star Wars a little bit. Yeah, I think it has never been my favorite movie until about 2 months ago. My favorite Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I think once I watched it kind of with a critic's eye, obviously I'm still very uneducated when it comes to movies, but the first time I ever watched it, like really kind of knowing what I like about movies and not just kind of watching it as just pure entertainment. I don't know. I feel, sound really pretentious, so I apologize. But it just is so good, and it's so different from Episode 4, but it still like carries the same themes. It's just darker, and it shifts differently, and the story plays out so unique. And I think we live in a, like, I don't know, I hate how much people talk about how much they hate sequels, but I mean, we both can probably agree that most sequels just never live up to the first movie. And I think how they actually took the first movie and kept why people liked it, but then actually transformed it into a unique standalone film that says something different is like such a big deal. And so that's why I really like it. And I think it just shows a model for all filmmakers and all storytellers on how to make a sequel that is worth making. So yeah, that's why it's my fifth. And obviously it's got all the iconic lines and great special effects, and it's just a fun ride too. And the bad guys win, which is, I always like that because it's pretty rare.
Are you pro or con prequels?
I do not like the prequels. I don't like them at all, really. I like the Clone Wars. I guess we can talk about that when we get to TV shows. I don't know if it's in your top five, but it's not mine. But the Clone Wars makes it better. The animated thing, series, I guess is the right word. And so I would recommend watching that. It does make the prequels better. But yeah, I actually like the sequels a good amount more than the prequels. But I don't think the sequels are that good either.
I agree. I think I'm one that when I watched them the first time, I watched them, and I'm sure you did too, how they should be watched, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3.
Correct.
I think the only two parts of the prequels that make them worth watching is the lightsaber fights are much better in the prequels, partly just because the special effects are obviously better. And I think the Obi-Wan Kenobi Anakin fight in episode 3 is very, very good. And Padme.
Nice. Yeah, I don't think their prequels are a full wash. I think the idea of the story is really good. I think the execution is bad. And George Lucas is just not very good at dialogue, in my opinion. And in the prequels, he has a lot more control over them in general. There are a lot more people working on the originals that kind of had their say in it. I think it brought it together better. So that's why I don't love the prequels. I actually kind of disagree about the lightsaber fights. I think your opinion is more popular than mine, but I feel like they're too playful in the prequels and they don't have as much weight as I think they should. But then when Anakin and Obi-Wan fight, it actually does feel better. And I think that is the best lightsaber fight in Star Wars. All right, what's your number two?
My number two, and this is my film, is La La Land. So,
okay,
as I've drilled into everybody over the last 10 weeks, born and bred in Los Angeles, and I watched this movie alone in theaters because I wanted to see it so bad and everybody else was busy at the time that I would, like, wanted to go watch it. First of all, I'm a sucker for musicals. So I think first and foremost, I'm going to like almost anything that uses music in that way. Secondly, it's beautifully shot. And I think it's the way it was shot cinematically is just a love letter to Los Angeles. And I love that. The singing itself is whatever. I mean, you can pick better singers than Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone. But it's a beautiful movie. The storyline is incredible. The music and the score is incredible. And I like that it didn't end the way anybody thought it was going to end.
Yeah.
And it came out 4 years ago, so I'm not going to spoil it. Or I am going to spoil it. It's not spoiling, though, because it came out 4 years ago. I like that they didn't end up with each other in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And they just had that subtle little nod to each other in the last scene of the movie, and that was that. I think it's a lot more realistic, and it's not a fairy tale ending. And I really like that you assumed they were going to get back together, and then they didn't.
So I've seen La La Land one time. But I don't love musicals like you do, but I don't know how to even say this. That's why I'm kind of stuttering. But it's just a great way to tell a story. I don't know. It just feels kind of like a dream when you're watching it. I think that's really good about it. And it, like you said, it's not a fairy tale, but it feels so, just so well made. So yeah, that's a great, great movie. I'm not going to get us completely off topic, but my favorite love letter to LA is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which is definitely in my top 10. So I almost added it. So I'm just going to give that a shout out and an honorable mention.
I love that movie. I think it's so cool. And it's partly, I'm going to be honest, I just think Brad Pitt in that movie is super cool. I have this weird fascination with the Manson family.
Yeah.
So that's part of it, man. I enjoyed. And yeah, and I know Quentin Tarantino really put his heart and soul into making it a love letter to LA, yeah, which I really appreciate. So that part was cool too.
Yeah, I love Brad Pitt. He's probably my favorite actor ever.
He was almost Mizzou made. He came.
Oh,
he dropped out of school with 2 credits left to graduate.
Oh, I think that still counts.
Yeah, we still claim him. It's okay.
Yeah. All right. Are we at my number one?
Yep. What's your number one?
So speaking of Brad Pitt, my number one movie is Inglourious Basterds, which is, I guess most people know what that movie is. It's World War II movie. Brad Pitt is the main character. I believe that's what it is. It's just about some Jews fighting Nazis, and it's really fun. It's got some of the best dialogue ever, one of the best movie villains ever. Christoph Waltz plays the villain, and he is just so good in it. And it's a funny movie. It's kind of serious, I guess. It's just very unique, and there's so many lines in it that I'm just obsessed with. And I can watch scenes over and over and over from that movie that they just seem to drag on. But while they drag on, they just are doing so much with every single line. It feels like every second of that movie is intentional and has a purpose. And Quentin Tarantino just beautifully crafted it. And I really, really like Tarantino. I'm like the people that people make fun of that like Tarantino and are really pretentious about it and think he's the only good filmmaker ever. But yeah, I think that movie does so many things right. And it's probably my favorite movie ever.
I've only seen it once, And I just remember coming away from it thinking it that was so cool. Like, it's a cool movie. And I know, definitely, like, we're two guys in our 20s and explosions are cool. And like, I'll be the first one to say, yeah, explosions are cool. But this movie was more than just explosions, but the explosions did help.
Oh, no doubt. Always. All right, what's your number one?
My number one, I understand that this is like, this is one of those movies that can be contested to be like, okay, I understand why this is number one, but it's not like a cinematic masterpiece, you know? My number one is Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Wow.
And here's why. You can't go wrong with Ferris Bueller's Day Off. If I had to call something the definition of a cult classic, it would be this movie. This is a movie that every person that is 18 or older should have seen at least once in their life by now. It's one of those universal movies that it's just something that everybody has to go through at least once. And the dialogue, you know, it's a John Hughes movie, and it's treated like a John Hughes movie. But there are just so many good lines in it that you can quote. And I think, like I said earlier, that's an important part of a movie and why I think Ferris Bueller has stood the test of time. Also because everybody at one point in their lives wanted to be like that.
Yeah.
For at least one day, and that's the whole point, everybody at one point thought, I want to have my Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And to have a movie that's synonymous with that just goes to show how culturally relevant this movie is.
Yeah, so I've only seen it once and I really didn't like it the one time I watched it, but it was a long time ago and I just need to watch it again just to be able to actually be educated and have a proper opinion for it. But yeah, again, cult classic. Everyone loves that movie. I don't know a single person other than me that has ever had a negative impression about anything from it. Again, if it's it being influential, I think has a lot that says a lot about what kind of movie it is. And that's almost more important than what the critics think about it. It is more important than what the critics think about it. So yeah, it's a great, just American movie.
And I have a funny story about this. Also, I'll get to what you just said after this story. But when I was in middle school, I had a really hard time falling asleep without some sort of noise in the background.
Yeah.
And at the time, I had this little like computer monitor size TV. Didn't have cable, nothing. I could just play movies on it in my room. And Ferris Bueller's Day Off was one of the only DVDs that like I kept in my room, essentially. I do not kid you. I fell asleep to that movie every single night for like 2 years. So
love that.
I can quite literally quote almost the entire movie from memory just because it's like so ingrained in my head, especially the first 25 minutes. And people hate watching this movie with me. They hate it because I can't help myself from saying all these lines. Like, this movie is just like, to say it's part of my personality is not the right way to say it. But like, anybody that knows me knows that this is like the movie that I wish I could live out. If you could, that's a good question. If you could live out the plot of one movie, what would it be?
Oh man, I don't know. Star Wars is awesome. Yeah, I'd probably go with Star Wars. I mean, I would like Luke Skywalker is who I would want to be, or just be my own person in the Star Wars universe. There's so many movies that I would love. I mean, I don't know. I think that's partly why I like movies, because I like to dream about like what it would be like for that. I don't know. What about you? Is that your answer?
Yeah, Ferris Bueller's Day Off would 100% be my answer, without a doubt.
Like a fun thing that I would love.
Yeah.
I need to watch it again, because I really don't. I don't even have any reason to say why I don't like it, so I probably just was not feeling watching a movie, but I watched it anyways.
Yeah. I think the other thing that you said before I told that story about it being more important if it's culturally relevant than what the critics think. Yes, absolutely true. I think Black Panther is the perfect example of that.
I've actually never seen Black Panther, which is really sad. I haven't seen any of the mid, like that era of Marvel movies, like Doctor Strange, Black Panther, Ant-Man. I need to just watch them all.
I just missed Black Panther is, what was that, 2018?
Yeah.
It's one of the best movies I've seen in a really long time. It's so culturally relevant right now, first of all. But I think Chadwick Boseman plays an incredible superhero. Michael B. Jordan, who I not so shamelessly have a huge man crush on, is such a good villain in it. If I had to recommend one Marvel movie, it would 100% be Black Panther.
Yeah. I need to watch it. I'm sure I would love it. Chadwick Boseman's actually from probably 30-40 minutes away from the house I grew up in. So
Do you have honorable mentions that you didn't put on your list that you want to talk about?
Ooh. I mean, I could go through a lot. WALL-E. I really love WALL-E. It's my favorite Pixar movie. There's a lot of Pixar movies that I really like. What else? Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. That's another really, really good one. I think that's the best Marvel movie. Hot take. Any Tarantino movie, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. I mean, there's so many movies that I could list.
I just have a couple that I've been thinking about while we've been going through this. And I also think that Disney Pixar movies should just be their own category. That's just my opinion.
That's fair.
I think the best way to go about saying what your favorite movies are is you say what your favorite movies are, and then you say what your favorite Disney Pixar movies are. I think that's the easiest way to go about that.
True.
My honorable mentions, just off the top of my head, I have two. Number one, The Karate Kid.
Okay. The old one?
Yes, the old one. The new one I watched in theaters, and I just, nothing off of Jaden Smith, but I just think it's awful. The old one with Ralph Macchio. First of all, that's another movie that takes place in the Valley. So I think that I like that part of it. I think it's cool. Also, I love the story, and I think it's so cool. You can't go wrong with that movie. And I think Mr. Miyagi is one of those characters that if you were to put a Mount Olympus of movie and television coaches,
yeah,
he would be on Mount Olympus for that, for sure, without a doubt.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, that movie is just incredible, and it has so many good lines. I watched it the other day, actually. And I think one of the more underrated lines is at the end, after Johnny Lawrence sweeps the leg, and some kid from behind goes, "Put him in a body bag." And like, that's just something that you would never say in a movie in 2020, but I just think it's such an 80s line, and I love it. My other honorable mention movie is The Sandlot.
Yeah.
I don't think that has to have all that much of an explanation. Anybody that
not at all
grew up playing baseball after 1995 when it came out, obviously that's going to be one of their favorite movies ever. Also, Moneyball, I think that's another good one. That's another Brad Pitt movie.
That's right.
The book is better, I will just say that, but it's such a good baseball movie. Let's do TV shows.
Sweet.
I think we're going to have a little bit of overlap here. Just with one. Doubt.
At least one, yeah.
Do you want to just do top three here?
Sure.
All right, what's your third?
The Mandalorian.
That's a good one.
I don't fully know if this counts. I mean, it does count, but it's not complete. Mm-hmm. So it's going to move and shake a little bit. Like Stranger Things would be competing for this, but Stranger Things season 2 is a little weak in my opinion, so it didn't make the cut. So The Mandalorian, it's great. I'm so excited for season 2. It's the best Star Wars has been since the originals, in my opinion, and it just hits the mark on everything that it needs to be. It's just great. It's space western that is just gritty and fun and just wow. So good. The music is great.
I'm a big fan of Jon Favreau.
Yeah, he's so good. He's what Star Wars has needed.
Yeah. So on my list, I have 1A and 2. I think that's just the best way for me to do it. So my second is Friday Night Lights. It's so good. That's another one. Coach Taylor would be on the Mount Olympus of TV coaches. It's so good, and it just it makes you feel something inside every single episode. You don't have to love football to be able to watch it. It's so good. I don't know how else to describe it. And I think Tim Riggins is just an incredibly complex, well-written character. Eric Taylor is an incredibly well-written character, and Kyle Chandler is so talented. I think I've watched that series like 3 times all the way through. It's incredible.
Yeah, I've never seen it. I need to. I'm sure I'd be into it. All I hear are good things.
What's your second?
My second is The Office. Sorry to be boring, but it's the best. Of sitcoms, New Girl is really the only thing that competes, in my opinion, for myself. But The Office still wins. It's so funny and so well done, and I've seen it probably 8 times. So many great quotable lines. It just what's so great about it is it's so plain. It doesn't try to do anything crazy. It's just like, it just gets it. I don't know what social experiences are like. Even for someone who is, I've only really worked in an office, and it's kind of a, not the exact same, but like for 3 months before I'd ever done that, even when I was just in school, I just like could relate to everything that it does. And I think that's why it's so great and so funny, just because it, everyone knows people like the characters in The Office. So yeah.
Do you listen to the Office Ladies podcast?
I've heard probably 5 or 6 episodes of it. It's pretty good.
I think it's really interesting to hear the behind the scenes of it. But The Office, and I guess I'll just say that that's one of my 1 and 1 A's is The Office. It's one of those that it couldn't fly in 2020. It definitely couldn't fly in 2020. But it's so good, and I agree that the way they write jokes is not to make you laugh because it's funny. They make you laugh because you feel what every other character is feeling in that moment. And I think that's something that's so hard to do. And like, I would put an honorable mention for Parks and Rec also, but I don't think Parks and Rec does as good of a job with that as The Office does.
Yeah, The Office is just so perfectly crafted. Almost every character in it is hilarious in their own unique way, which is what's so cool about it. Yeah, I love The Office. I'm not going to make it more sophisticated than it needs to be, but it's so funny.
I have a 2-part question. Number one, do you have a favorite episode?
Yes, my favorite episode is Murder, which where the branch they thought was closing, and so there's a murder in Savannah. And
that's a great one.
It's perfect, flawless.
My favorite is Dinner Party.
Oh, Dinner Party's too much for me, but it is funny.
I think Dinner Party is just, it's the funniest episode to me, because the whole interaction in their living room and their dining room is incredible. Just from the very beginning, where Michael concocts this elaborate plan just to get Jim and Pam to go have dinner with him and Jan.
Yeah,
I think the whole premise of that is just incredible.
Yeah, it's a train wreck, but that's what makes it so awesome.
Do you have one or more favorite lines that you can quote off right now?
Oh, man. That's a tough question with no prep, Ben. I take these kind of questions so seriously. I don't even know. You say yours, and let me think about it.
I have so many. Just some off the top of my head, from the Dinner Party. That's a $200 TV you just broke.
Yeah, I thought of that right when you said Dinner Party. That ran through my head.
Yeah, that's a great one. Even just from Dinner Party, I think there are so many good lines. When they're playing charades, and Michael is trying to say Tom Cruise, and Jim goes, Katie Holmes, and then Michael says, no, but he's married to her. Dawson's Creek.
Oh, man. I think my favorite, I don't know if this is my favorite, but this is very close, is Abraham Lincoln once said, if you're a racist, I will attack you with the North.
That just makes me laugh
so hard.
I think another good one, this is the sole reason this TV show would never fly in 2020, is during the merger, when Martin walks into the office with Jim and Michael goes, let me show you where we keep the slaves. Oh, that line is so funny, because every single person that's on camera looks at Michael like he just said a blasphemous thing, which he does. And that's why it's so funny. And I think having no laugh track makes it so awkward in the best way possible.
Yeah, I am so thankful there's no laugh track. I don't really like laugh tracks. And that's just the awkward silences and people looking at the camera and just how you feel like you're in the room and you're uncomfortable. It's so good. And it just like stuff like that hits way better than, I don't know, it just makes better points than a lot of people that will ever try to do about.
Yep. And I think I said it earlier, but it like it's because you feel it. Yeah. You're feeling what Jim feels when he looks at the camera like, I can't believe Michael just said that. Yeah, what's your number one?
All right, my number one is Band of Brothers, if that counts.
I've never heard of it.
I'm guessing it does. So Band of Brothers is an HBO miniseries. It came out in 2001. It is only 10 episodes, so that's, I mean, I guess it counts. But it's about a group. It's about the Easy Company of the 101st Airborne in World War One that, like, they drop in on D-Day, and you follow them through their campaign in Europe. And it is so good. It is so hard to watch just because it's very violent and like people, characters that you grow close to die and stuff. But it is just a quintessential like American movie about like the cost of freedom and just like what these people lived through. It is so good. It is, oh man, it's amazing. I love it. Definitely check it out.
My 1/1A that's interchangeable is How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
We've talked about it a ton in the past. I know you haven't watched it, but I think I've watched it all the way through like 6 or 7 times. And I know that sounds nuts, but it's because it's like comfort food to me. The Office and How I Met Your Mother are just that everybody has that one TV show that you just turn on and you can like halfway zone it out and it just makes you feel good. And How I Met Your Mother is one of those for me. I watched it for the first time in 9th grade. And I watched all 10 seasons in 2.5 weeks, which is crazy.
Oh my gosh.
but it's just so good. And I'm not going to say it's relatable necessarily because I'm 20 and it starts when they're like 27. So I understand that it's not completely relatable to me. But I think Ted Mosby is a really good character. And I know that's a hot take for anybody that's actually seen How I Met Your Mother. And it's just funny. And it's like almost a little bit so out there that it makes it more funny. It's a bit more debaucherous, if that's a word, than Friends. And that's why yeah. I like it more than Friends. I think Friends is a lot more realistic. And honestly, I think that makes it a little bit less funny. But yeah, How I Met Your Mother. I can never go wrong with that. And I can watch it over and over and over again.
Yeah. Nice.
What are your honorable mentions for TV shows since I cut off 4 and 5 and whatever?
So I already mentioned New Girl.
Yeah, I would put that on there too.
Chernobyl, which is another HBO miniseries. It's only 5 episodes. It's so good. Definitely recommend it. Waco, which is on Netflix. Another great TV show. Only 6 episodes, I think. Tells a great story. What else have I seen? I don't know. Those are the big ones for sure. Stranger Things, talked about that. Yeah, those are the big ones. What about you?
Well, I would put New Girl on there for sure. But I also think it's so interesting that there's this huge TikTok trend right now.
Yeah.
That everybody is obsessed with Nick Miller. And I just don't quite get it. Like, I think Nick Miller is a funny character. Oh. Don't get me wrong, but he's not my favorite character in that show.
So Nick Miller's my favorite character of all time, any TV show ever. So not with you there. I love Nick Miller, but I don't know. Most people I know like Schmidt the most.
I like Winston the best. I just think Winston's so funny. Winston is almost always the comic relief.
Definitely.
But I just think he's so funny and he just lightens the mood. And
yeah, definitely.
He's just a bit random and I like that. But I get why people like Nick Miller. Don't get me wrong. Oh, there's a phone call ringing. I'm just going to end this. Nice. I don't know who this is. This reminds me, did you watch Wonder Pets or did your sister watch Wonder Pets?
Just a little bit.
When I'm 20 years old and every single time I hear a phone ringing, I think of when Wonder Pets was still on and my sister, when she was really little, couldn't pronounce her R's. So whenever she would sing the theme song, she would always sing, the phone is ringing. There was an animal in trouble somewhere. And it's like, whenever I sing that song now, that's how I sing it, just because that's how I remember hearing that song all the time.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah, that was a fun little show.
Yeah. So before the phone started ringing, I was saying, I really like Nick Miller, but I just think he doesn't have his life together for almost all of the show. And something about that just bothers me.
Yeah, I get that. I don't know. That's why I like him, I guess, but that does check out.
How do you feel about Jessica Day? Because that's another hotly contested.
Yeah, I don't like her. Thing. I mean, I think she's necessary for the show. Obviously, she kind of drives it all, but she annoys me.
I agree generally, but I think I'm in the minority that I actually really like Jessica Day. I feel like, partly because I think if I were to be in the New Girl universe, that would be the type of person that I would vibe well with.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of the reason why, like, I could see myself, that would be the type of person that I would be friends with. Other honorable mentions. I would say Friends, just for longevity's sake. Just because I could watch Friends anytime, and I think that has to be mentioned. But what I had as number four was Gilmore Girls. Gilmore Girls is another one of those comfort food TV shows for me that
I've never seen it.
I could just watch over again. It's so good.
I'll add Phineas and Ferb into my list. Phineas and Ferb is elite.
Yeah, Phineas and Ferb is a really good one. Avatar The Last Airbender, I'm rewatching that.
Avatar. I'm probably going to start it. My roommate showed me one episode of it, and it was super good. So.
It's so good. My mom and I were having this conversation like a week or so ago about cartoons that an entire family could watch together, and I think Avatar is at the top of the list for it.
That one episode was like super in-depth for someone that is like our age and like needs a little bit more than just like plain action, but for a kid it would just be cool. So
yeah, no doubt. It's really good. I would also throw Drake and Josh on there.
You can never
go wrong with Drake and Josh. There are so many, especially from when like 10 to 14. I feel like there are just so many TV shows that we could just throw on there.
Yeah,
that
we could do a full childhood stuff episode and it would last 10 hours.
Yeah. I mean, even did you watch The Backyardigans when you were a kid?
Yeah, briefly. It was on sometimes and I would watch it.
Maybe that was more of like, because I was a bit old.
And so I am a little old for that.
Yeah. Joanna probably watched that more than you did. I'm trying to think of other childhood TV shows that I watched. Oh, SpongeBob. You can never go wrong with SpongeBob. Fairly Odd Parents. All those cartoons.
Love those.
Oh, also I would put Family Guy in my honorable mention. I think Family Guy is hilarious. I love Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah, the Family Guy episodes I haven't seen at all are really funny. Really good.
I've heard that The Simpsons is like the funniest cartoon ever made. I've only watched bits and pieces of episodes here and there, but it's on Disney Plus, so maybe after I finish watching Avatar I'll invest some time and start watching The Simpsons.
Yeah, I've never seen it. Heard great things. I think I'd like it.
So to put a button on this episode and to finish it up, let's think of one more top three that we can just rattle off real quick, and that's how we'll finish this up.
All right. Well, do you have something in mind, or do you want me to come up with something?
Let's do states. Favorite states you've been to. I think that's a good one. You and I have both been to a good handful.
Can my home state count or no?
No. So I can't count California. You can't count South Carolina.
All right. I'll just say my top three, okay?
Yep.
My number three, I'm going to say is, oh, man. I'm going to go with Florida, number three. Florida's great. It has Disney World. Number two, I'm going to say Montana.
That's a good one.
Beautiful. The National Park is great. And number one, funny enough, is Alaska, which is the only place that we've spent extended time together. Alaska's a great place. Beautiful. So vast and just so unique to anywhere else in America. So, yeah, I'd say that's my top three. California probably falls into the top five because there's so much. I mean, you can do everything in California.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say my number three is Tennessee. I've only ever driven through it, but I just have this weird fascination, and I would really love to spend more time in Tennessee. I think it's such a beautiful place.
Yeah,
and
I spent last weekend there.
It's great. I'd really like to spend more time there. Number two, I'm just going to toss up between Hawaii and Alaska. They're very different, but I think for similar reasons, they're
definitely
both incredible places. And number one is Oregon, because I love the Pacific Northwest, and I've spent a lot of time in Oregon, especially compared to Washington. Oregon is such a beautiful state.
Yeah, I went to Washington last summer, and I'm sure they're pretty similar. And yeah, it's gorgeous. It's awesome.
I think the whole Pacific Northwest coast is just incredible, and I love that you can just go from forest to ocean. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, that's, man. And we're all in the great U.S. of A, baby. That's all that matters.
True. We love America on this podcast.
That's right.
All right. That's a good way to end it.
Yeah, I appreciate you letting me be on again, Ben. It's always fun. Yeah, great podcast.
This was a good one. I'm glad we ended up doing this.
Yep, me too.
Do you have any quotes that you want to end this with? I have one.
Oh, man. You start with your quote, and I can find a quote.
All right, my quote is from my favorite movie, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you can miss it.
Beautiful. I'm just going to let you end it with that. If I'm ever on again, I'll prepare a really good quote, but I'm not going to beat that. So,
sounds good. Well, I really appreciate you being here, and I appreciate everybody that has been listening to this podcast for the last 10 weeks. It's nuts that it's been that long, and we'll see where it goes from here. But whatever happens, it'll be the next era of Learn Something. So I really appreciate everybody that's stuck with me this far.
Oh, that's great. I love, like, you like legitimately make one of my favorite podcasts, and like, even if I didn't know you, I would listen to it. So I appreciate you allowing me to be in 2/10 of or 1/5 of the episodes. Huge honor.
Well, I think just because it was your podcast that gave me the idea to make this podcast, I think it couldn't have been a better way to go about it. So
love to hear it.
Thanks again, everybody, for listening, and I'll see you when I see ya.
That's right.
Thank you for tuning into the Learn Something podcast. If you want to keep up with the podcast on Instagram, it's @learnsomethingpod. Subscribe to the podcast so that you can keep up and get episodes right to your phone when another one drops. I hope you learned something, and we'll see you next time. The intro and outro music is written by Noah Kurchowski.